think about things for the end of October. We've got Trunk or Treat going on. We've got the youth going on a food hunt, all of those wonderful things. So be looking ahead, because there will be time when it is cool every day and it will be fall and all of our lights will be on. So, does anyone have any other announcements? I am going to provide a few prayer updates right now. Are there any other announcements right now? All right, well, let me turn to our prayer list. One update, Andrew Hartle, who is on the list, having experienced paralysis following a neck injury. He is now at the Shepherd Center in Atlanta that specializes in helping people who have had spinal cord injuries. So let us pray healing for him as the Shepherd Center does its amazing work. Also ask that you would add John Christian. That is Josh Parrish's roommate. John experienced a fall at Hanging Rock and is mending with some broken ribs and is going to need to take some time for healing. So I ask that you would keep John in your prayers, as well as his parents, of course, who are worried. And I lift up those prayers of healing for John. Obviously, let us pray for people who are just continuing to reel from the effects of Hurricane Michael. I ask that you would lift them up in your prayers, as well as certainly pray for those in our community. Let us say a prayer of thanks for all those who have already done all of the work to help our community get lights back on and get us back on our feet. So let us keep them all in our prayers. Are there other prayer concerns that you all would like to mention or add this morning, or updates that you'd like to mention or add? I'm not sure folks are waving at me or got an announcement. All right. Well, I don't see any additional announcements this morning or additions to the prayer concern list. I do want to notice, you all notice that we have the baskets here. Today is Commitment Sunday, where we take that time to pledge our lives and ourselves to the work of this congregation and to the glory of Jesus Christ. So during the hymn that follows the sermon, when we do something different, I know, we always got to talk about through that. All right, so we're going to sing a hymn following the sermon. And at that time, you're invited to come bring forward your completed pledge card and your time and talent sheet and place it in the baskets and then return back to your seats. If you are unable to come forward, if there is someone sitting near you who is coming forward, if you would be sure you pass your information to them so they can come and include it in the baskets, and then I'll take time for a prayer of commitment. So I think that's the only thing we're doing different, so we're all good on that. All right. Well, if there are no other announcements or prayer updates, I invite us to stand as we're able, and let us say the call to worship, join together. Let us hear these words from Psalm 106. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we gather in worship this morning to reflect on the greatness of your saving love made real to us in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As we worship, we ask that your Spirit renew us and sustain us, for we can do nothing without you. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose holy name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 181. Be seated. God's greatness reminds us of our limitations. God's goodness reminds us of the times we have failed to be good. But we know that God hears our humble prayers of confession. So let us join together, confessing our prayers before God and one another. Join me in the unison prayer of confession, followed by a time of silent personal confession. Let us pray. God of all grace, you have told us in your word that where sin has increased, your grace has increased all the more. You have told us that we need to forgive each other just as you in Christ have forgiven us. We have tried to believe in your forgiveness, and sometimes we have even tried to forgive what others have done against us. But one of the hardest things for us to do is to forgive ourselves. By your grace, help us not to stay mad at ourselves and kick ourselves for all of the bad things we have done. Cleanse us from our past and help us enjoy our present and serve you faithfully in our glorious future. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Children of God, God hates our sin. God hates the way that our sin puts us at a distance. But God never stops loving us. Remember the good news in Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. Alleluia. Amen. I'd like to invite any of the children who are here to come join me down front. Good morning. This is so much fun to see faces that I don't know. That makes me so happy. Hi, good morning. So, tell me, raise your hand if you do not have the lights on in your house this morning. Still, some of us don't. Some of us still don't. Yeah. All right. So, raise your hand. Did anybody's lights go out at all in the past few days? Maybe it did. Yeah. My children should raise their hands. All right, good. All right. So a lot of us have had some time in the past few days where it's been pretty dark. In fact, I think at our house we've been going to bed very early, and during the daytime we've been playing games. Because you know what? There's a lot of things in our houses that use electricity. Can't play our video games unless we charge them. Can't watch TV. Can't use the internet. I was worried, you know what I was worried about? What if I couldn't dry my hair this morning and I had to comb with crazy hair? But anyway, yes. Exactly. Oh, thank you. That was not a planted segue, but that was perfect. Also, you can't see when it's dark at your house. That's right, absolutely. So there's some things that I brought in my bag here that at our house, we had a lot of things. I certainly didn't want to bring them all. That might help us a little. Let me see. What have I got here? Whoa, I got a really bright one. Do you guys know that this was how I managed to make the power come back on? Because I went and bought one of these. And when I bought one, that meant that my lights would come on soon after that. And that was how that worked. So that was very, very good. I bought a very powerful flashlight. So a flashlight helps us to see when it's dark. Okay, turn that off. Got one more thing in here. Got a little one of these. What is this? Ooh, what have I got? A little mini lantern. Yeah. And that's my daughter's. That's right, because it's her favorite color. But yeah, this is a lantern. And we use these at our house to help us when we're in the dark. All right, so I want us to make a little jump here. Because we talk about being in the dark, meaning that we can't actually see things. And then the Bible uses a lot of language about being in the dark, meaning when we don't know something, or sometimes even when we're in the dark, that's a time when we're afraid. That's something we can all understand, maybe. And when the Bible talks about the darkness, especially of being afraid, then the Bible talks about seeing the light might be a phrase, or being in the light. In fact, let me tell you, one of my favorite verses is from the Gospel of John, and it says, guess what? It says that there's a light that shines in the darkness, and that light is Jesus. And it says that the darkness tries so hard to put out the light, but that the darkness couldn't even turn out that light, couldn't overcome it. The old school out there might say, the light comprehendeth it not. But that does not work very well for me, but I'm going to try to understand it. The light shines in the darkness. Jesus shines even in our darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So that's a way to help us feel, even when we're scared, when we're really in the dark, I think thinking about that makes me feel better, because I know that Jesus loves me, and I know that Jesus is with me, so I don't have to be afraid. Yeah. They can shine because they have batteries. Oh, and there's a whole, awesome sermon about how batteries are like the Holy Spirit. I mean, we could do a lot. We could do a lot. Exactly. So maybe we can think of Jesus as like the batteries that light the light to help us see. Yes. If you have, a fire in your fireplace, especially since it's colder now, it could help you keep warm. And, the candles here. Oh, man, you guys are... Oh, this is great. All right. So, yes, so we light the candle, and that represents God's spirit that's with us when we worship. That's why we do that every week. So it represents the light as well. So, man, you guys are awesome. Thank you for helping me with this children's sermon this morning. You did. And let's remember, let's say a prayer right now. Let's pray for all the folks who don't have power yet, and let's pray for folks who are going to have to rebuild their houses and rebuild their lives. So let's make praying hands. Make a clap, and then kind of put your hands close to your heart, and you can just listen to my prayer today. You don't have to repeat. Dear God, we come to you today, some of us still waiting for the power and the lights to come on at our houses, and we pray for our friends. We also pray for people whose homes have been destroyed, people who are going to be rebuilding their lives in the coming weeks and months. Help us to help them, and help us all to remember that you are indeed the light that shines in the darkness. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much. Let's see, who do we need to follow? Y'all, I think y'all know who to follow for Children's Church. Thank you, or you may go back and sit with your family. I want to say that I want to get credit from everybody, because I remembered that church was at 10:30 this morning, because this is my first time being here since you all moved up your time, and so I kept reminding myself, and I did remember, although I will say, I don't know if everybody knows this, there's a little clock up here, there's a little clock that sits right up here in the pulpit that the minister can see, and it is throwing me off, because when you're used to seeing the minutes go by, in a certain hour for 7.5 years, then I keep looking at it, and I'm like, wait, no, worship isn't almost over yet. You're only about halfway there. So I apologize. If I look at the clock and seem to have a surprised look on my face, that is why. Well, let us now, let us turn to God's word, read and proclaimed to us this morning. So let us say a prayer. Please join me. O Lord, our God, your word is indeed a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and we remember that especially this morning. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 16, and if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, you will find it on page 909. I'm going to be reading a parable that Jesus told. Parables are stories. They are allegories of sorts that Jesus used to teach his followers in the early years and that are still used to teach us today. So let us listen to what Jesus would have us hear. Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day. That's a standard, side note, that's a standard day's labor wages. In other words, if you're a day laborer, that's what you would expect to get paid. So he agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace, doing nothing. And he said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. Now about 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found others still standing around. And he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day, doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. And he said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." Now when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his supervisor, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first." So the workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. So the world is filled, absolutely filled, with many cartoons and jokes about the pearly gates of heaven. Usually depicted a scene with clouds all around it, folks standing in a line, and a very bearded Saint Peter standing at the gates at the entry to heaven with usually a big book in his hands. Now, here are a few for our ears this morning. Now, I found these on some websites. I don't spend my time being able to make up jokes of this caliber, but I believe BeliefNet or Christians Unite were the places where I found these. All right, joke one about the pearly gates. A pastor and a taxi driver both died and went to heaven. Saint Peter was at the gates waiting for them. "Come with me," said Saint Peter to the taxi driver. The taxi driver did as he was told, and he followed St. Peter to a mansion. And it had anything you can imagine, from a bowling alley to an Olympic-sized pool. "Wow! Thank you," said the taxi driver. So next, St. Peter led the pastor to a rugged old shack with a bunk bed and a little old television set. Wait, I think you're a little mixed up," said the pastor. "Shouldn't I be the one who gets the mansion? After all, I was a pastor. I went to church every day, and I preached God's word." "Yes, that's true," St. Peter said. "But during your sermons, people slept. And when the taxi driver drove, everybody prayed." 1, 2. At the pearly gates, St. Peter greeted a minister and a congressman and gave them their room assignments. Congressperson, I need to be right about that. "Pastor, here are the keys to one of the nicest efficiency units. And for you, congressperson, the keys to our finest penthouse suite." "That is unfair," cried the minister. Y'all notice I use minister jokes because that way it's self-effacing and all that. "All right, listen," St. Peter said, "ministers up here in heaven, well, they're a dime a dozen, but this is the first congressperson we've ever seen." And lastly, a man dies and goes to heaven. And of course, St. Peter meets him at the pearly gates. And St. Peter says, "All right, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. Now you tell me about all the good things that you've done, and I'll give you a certain number of points for each item, depending on how good it was. And when you reach 100 points, you get in." "Okay," the man says. "Well, I was married to the same woman for 50 years, and I never cheated on her, even in my heart." "Well, that's wonderful," says St. Peter. "That's worth 3 points. 3 points, he says. He says, "All right, well, I attended church all my life, and I supported its ministry with my tithe and my service." "Terrific," says St. Peter. "That's certainly worth 1 point. 1 point? Golly, well, how about this? I started a soup kitchen in my city, and I worked in a shelter for homeless veterans." "Fantastic," St. Peter says. "That's worth 2 more points, he says. 2 points, the man cries out. "At this rate, the only way I'll get into heaven is by the grace of God." "Come right on in," St. Peter exclaims. The grace of God. One Bible commentary I read plainly stated, God's grace is a grace that is always amazing. And the grace of God is the key, y'all, for unlocking our parable from Matthew's gospel today. It's often called the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, but it really might be broken down into, this is a story about us. And this is a story about God's larger-than-life grace. It's a grace that we can't work out on the bottom line, that we can't put in spreadsheets, that we can't make logical sense of. But it is about God's larger-than-life grace. All right, so let's start with these first workers hired for a day of labor at the vineyard. Hard work, a long day, and they earn what's promised to them? A denarius, fair pay for their work. In many ways, those of us who have lived a faith-filled life all of our days, Jesus says, well, we might find ourselves in that category of people in the parable. Many people think that Jesus intended to chastise the religious insiders of his day. We might call them the religious holy rollers, the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus was kind of trying to make a statement to them. Now, they are doing the work of the Lord in their time and their place. They are faithful. They love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart and soul, mind and strength. And what do they get in return for their faith, their hard work, and their sacrifice? They receive God's grace. They receive God's amazing grace, for it has been promised to them. And they receive it. All right, so then there are all these other folks, the workers hired later in the day. Now, who do they represent? We enter into what we call the realm of conjecture. Perhaps they represent the religious outsiders. I mean, look at who was Jesus closest with? Tax collectors, ordinary fishermen. They are not the holy rollers. They are not the religious insiders of the day and time. But in the parable, those workers come and work in the vineyard, not as many hours. But what do they get in return for their hard work, regardless of how long it was? They receive God's grace, God's amazing grace. For it has been promised to them, and they receive it. All right, y'all know, this is when the things get dicey, as we say. So the first workers are completely satisfied with their amount of grace until they find out what those other workers, they're getting the same amount of grace. Now, I often think to myself, silly vineyard owner, if you had just paid those first workers first and maybe sent them on their way, we wouldn't have had a problem. They wouldn't have known what the later workers got paid. Oh, that's not how it worked out. Because in their anger, in their jealousy, the early workers show the ugly side being faithful followers. The sinful thought that can enter our minds when we say, wait a minute, I am more deserving of God's grace than you are. Because when we really think that and say that, what we're saying is, I don't think I really need God's grace at all. Tomorrow, I can go work in somebody else's vineyard. Heck, I can just go and plant my own vineyard. I don't need this kind of grace. I don't need to work for this kind of vineyard owner. I don't need God for anything. Because the truth of truths is this. We all are desperately in need of God's grace. More than we need anything else in this world, we are completely dependent on it. Paul writes in Ephesians 2:8, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. For it is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. And this gift is offered to everyone, the early morning workers and the late afternoon hires. It is a gift for us all." Church reformer Martin Luther, I should have saved this one for 2 weeks from now, but church reformer Martin Luther once said, he wrote it 500 years ago, he said, "God doesn't love us because of our worth. We are of worth because God loves us." It's a profound thing we have to remember. Now, I'm going to tell y'all another story this morning, another allegory, although this is rooted in truth. It is a story that takes me back to my fourth grade year of school. Now, if you know me well, you may have heard this story, but just pretend like you haven't because it works too well in this sermon to not share it. So, when I was in fourth grade, let me tell you, that was the time of jelly shoes and big boom boxes and big neon lacy hair bows, and we all wanted to be Cyndi Lauper, like we just couldn't take it anymore. So that was fourth grade. So, in the interest of anonymity, I'm not going to give my teacher's full name. We're going to call her Mrs. T. All right, so Mrs. T, she was known as the toughest teacher at my elementary school. Some of her threatening statements that I still remember, y'all, it's been a long time since fourth grade. I still remember she would say things like, "If you all don't sit down and listen up, I'm going to knock you from here to China." I always thought that was, now as an adult, I think that's fascinating. All right. Or she would say, "You know, if you don't listen or you don't do what I'm telling you to do, I'm gonna knock you from here to next week," which was also another fascinating thing to think about. I recall that she had in her desk what I believe must have been a bottle of Pepto-Bismol, and there were sometimes she would be in class and she would just go over and get that, open her drawer, and just throw back a swig of the Pepto-Bismol, put the top on it, put it back in her drawer. Man, she was tough. And what you didn't want to do, no matter what, was make Mrs. T really mad. Because even though those threats seemed kind of far-fetched, you didn't want to find out yourself. So some days, this was at my elementary school, like our teacher might leave for a little bit to go to the office to get something. And then like the teacher next door was supposed to be listening in on us while we did our worksheets, you know, kind of thing. So So Mrs. T leaves us for a few minutes to go to the office. Teacher next door is supposed to be listening on us. And Mrs. T says, no matter what, she says, don't get out of your seat while I am gone. That was the deal. Probably knocking us here to China was mentioned and in that threat. So we're sitting there and we're working on our worksheets, little fourth graders. And I was working on my worksheet and my pencil, the tip of the pencil broke, right? It broke off. So now there was a pencil sharpener in the room and it was the kind with the crank and it was on Mrs. T's desk. Now, apparently, my good sense had left me for a moment, or I just was really enjoying the worksheet so much, I thought that was, I just needed to work on it no matter what. So I get up and start to walk across the fourth grade classroom to sharpen my pencil. Y'all know what kids would do, right? All of a sudden, I heard, ooh. And I realized, and at that point, I don't know, again, wonder what my fourth grade mind said. All right, I said, I'll just do this really fast. So I run over, and I start sharpening my pencil, and then they keep doing it with a ooh, you know. And So in my haste and in my panic, I withdraw my pencil quickly. All right, let me say one more thing about Mrs. T's desk. At the end of her desk was a little white flower vase made out of glass with some fake flowers on it. So you all know, everybody, I can tell the heads are nodding out there. I knocked it off, and it fell to the floor. And I heard the noise. It broke. Broke the vase on Mrs. T's desk. So here I am. I go back and return to my seat. She has not come back. The kid sitting next to me, I hope he's doing well in life. I don't know what happened to him, but I remember what he said. Amanda, he said, your goose is cooked. That was what he said. Said it multiple times. I'm sure my face was just bright red, and I just sat there, didn't probably work on my worksheet anymore. And sure enough, the door opens, Mrs. T comes back into the room. And she had to walk by my desk before she got to her desk. So, you know, the moment was upon me. If I was going to confess, it was going to have to happen right away. So I shot my hand up, and she said, what is it? And I said, Mrs. T, I said, I am very sorry. I said, but I got up to sharpen my pencil because it broke, and I was working on my worksheet. And I broke your vase on your desk. All right, so Mrs. T looked at me and she said, thank you for telling me, Amanda. She said, why don't you go and help clean it up? And we're not going to worry about this anymore. It's okay. In that day, I believe I experienced a little bit of God's amazing grace. Because, you see, in that moment, I was not deserving of her forgiveness. I was not deserving of her grace or her kind words. If I was to put myself in Jesus' parable of the workers in the vineyard, I was that very last person who they hired at 5:55, and I went and labored for 5 minutes, and then I got a denarius. I got a full day's wage. I didn't deserve the denarius that I got paid. So in that fourth grade moment, what I can remember afterwards is feeling the most grateful and the most thankful I think I have probably ever felt in my life. Thankful for this moment of amazing, undeserved grace. And friends, if we look back on our lives, if we are honest with ourselves, we can see that our lives are filled with lots of moments of amazing grace. For God's grace can and does come to us again and again. John's Gospel calls it grace upon grace. So what do we do with that? What do we do with that feeling? Because our lives are intended then to reflect gratefulness for that grace. An attitude of gratitude, we might say. An attitude of thankfulness to God. And that attitude of thankfulness can take many forms. And one of them is what we do when we pledge our time and our talents and our resources to God. out of gratitude, we say, God, I'm offering my life to you. I once heard that our offering should look a little like this. Instead of passing the plate along, like we usually do when we collect our offering, that we should each take turns, and we should put the plate on the floor, and we should take off our shoes, and we should stand in the offering plate ourselves. Now, don't do that today, because Pastor Steve's going to hear about it, and I'll get in trouble, but let that image sit with us. What we're doing when we share our time and our talents and our resources, we are offering ourselves in gratitude to God. We're offering ourselves in our entirety because we're saying, thank you, God. We are saying thank you for your amazing, illogical grace. So, yes. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let us now stand together. I invite you to join me in hymn number 391, which is Take My Life. And as you are able, I do invite you to come forward and place your pledge cards and your time and talent commitment forms in the baskets here. And if there is someone near you who needs you to bring theirs forward because they're not able to come forward, please do that. So let us stand and join in Take My Life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we now dedicate our offerings of our time, our talent, our resources. We offer ourselves To your great wisdom and guidance, we lift up the work of this church in the coming year, that in prayer and praise, in word and in sacrament, we may know your will and experience your peace and your power in our lives. We lift up all of these things we have dedicated to you, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we join together in saying the prayer that Christ taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. In continuing response to God's work in our lives, let us bring forth our tithes and our offering this morning.
Strength, my soul is born.
Let us pray. Gracious and ever-loving God, we lift up this, our offering today, to your work in this place, inside and outside of these church walls. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of dedication you'll find printed in your bulletin. It's to the tune of 555, but that will be familiar. So let us continue to worship God with our hymn of dedication.
Thank you.
But let us go forth from this place to love and serve the Lord, to say thank you to God for the amazing grace shown to us. As you go forth, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace, both today and every day. Alleluia. Amen.